Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
G'day and welcome to the Ball Boys Fantasy Basketball Podcast, part two of the Versus mini-series. Today we're talking the guards and the bigs. Let's go!
Jordan open! Chicago with the lead! Bryant to Shaq!
Not a game. We talking about practice.
LeBron James with no regard for human life!
Anything's possible!
G'day and welcome to the Ball Boys Fantasy Basketball Podcast. I'm your host, Mitch Casey, and you can find me on Twitter at BallBoysNBA and on Instagram at BallBoysFantasyBasketball. Joining me once again, I've got the man, Callum Mack. How are you?
Yeah, doing well. Delving into the draft again, which I love to do at this time of the year.
Yeah, it's exciting time of year, and I'm really getting into it. I love seeing all the different mocks out there and the different big boards and everyone's take on everyone. And it's interesting because we all don't know. You know, I was also reflecting on my big board from last year, and I had a couple of misses. I think, one of the...
Still early, though.
Still I'll, early. Some
I'll
of them...
Give you some defense there.
Some of them, I am reserving my right to sort of give myself another year or two. But, you know, someone like a Scotty Barnes, I was, you know, too low. I think I had him at like six on my big board, and he's obviously a top three guy in that draft. I think it's fairly clear, or maybe a top four, depending on what Jalen Green does. But, you know, it's always interesting to go back and sort of see what we're saying about guys in the future and how right or wrong we are.
Scotty Barnes was one of my guys. I'll put that on the record. Was a fan.
Yeah. We were fans. I think we were higher than some others, but I don't think either of us had him going.
Yeah, you know, I do remember three. you had Moody over.
I did have Moody, yeah. Barnes. And he's playing good basketball right now. If you've been watching him in the playoffs, he's contributing. He's a good player.
He's playing great defense, yeah. And he's getting shots, gets to the rim. He's definitely showing some sparks. On a championship team, I'd like to see him maybe get 10 minutes a game. We'll see. I'd like to see him out there.
Right now as a rookie, I think that's fair. But let's talk about, today we've got two different categories we're going to run through. We're going to go through the guards first, which won't take us too long because there's not many good ones in this draft. And then we're going to be going through some of the big guys, which are spread out throughout the first and early second round. So talking guards first. Oh, if you haven't already, check out our first episode of this mini-series where we're doing the versus series where we've gone through the top three, the forwards in Paolo, Jabari, and Chet, and then the two guards in the top five in Sharp versus Jaden Ivey. Today we're talking about sort of the guards in the mid-first, the lottery, and then maybe sort of mid-first round. We're going through three guards in Dyson Daniels, Johnny Davis, and Ty Ty Washington. I'll throw it over to you, Cal. How do you rank these three? And give me a little bit quick one on as to why you've got them in this order.
I felt pretty comfortable where I landed. I have gone on the record and said that I do like Johnny Davis. I think he does have quite a high ceiling if the offense does really kind of click for him in the NBA. There will be more space for him to be able to make moves I think early on, even if he's coming off the bench and they just let him do his thing, I do see that as some good potential there. And he can play make. And the good thing about him, he's not just the bucket getter. He can play defense as well. So I think his floor is quite high. So I have Johnny Davis at the top of these three prospects here. I follow it up with a Dyson Daniels and then lastly with a Ty Washington. To touch on Dyson, I think he's going to be a great player, good role player. I have compared him to a slightly less athletic Lonzo Ball. I think that's where he can be. He can really push the pace, play up tempo. And he's got a really, really good kind of floater game inside the paint. If he gets there on pick and rolls, it can be pretty deadly. It's a really hard shot to defend in this day and age. And he's definitely shown that he can do it. And on top of that, his three-point shooting did definitely progress throughout the college season. So I think there's a fair bit of potential even there, as well as a bit of a spot-up shooter if you want to play him as a combo guard. And he's just like a kind of, he plays like a savvy vet. He plays like an older player. I think the IQ is there, which is definitely something that is underrated in a lot of drafts.
Yeah.
And then lastly, Ty, he's just your classic kind of floor general guy that can come. I see him as probably more a sixth man, but if you bring him off the bench, he can just run your offense, I think, pretty comfortably. Smart player, and can get assists quite nicely.
Yeah, I think I nearly have the same order. I'm just going to flip Dyson Daniels and Johnny Davis for me. I think they're both fairly close. I kind of like them both somewhat similar. And then I've got Ty Washington a fair way back behind these guys in like the next tier. I don't necessarily think that Ty is a lottery type level talent. I think the upside is somewhat limited. I don't think you really want him to be a starting point guard. Like you said, I agree he's a bit of a bench player, but he's a good bench player. I think he's going to be someone who can definitely contribute to good basketball, but the upside, I don't really know if it's there. Dyson Daniels is someone to me that has actually been rising up my big board somewhat rapidly in the past couple of weeks since we did our big board first podcast. At the moment, he is sitting number 6 on my big board, right behind Shaedon Sharpe there in sort of that first tier of this kind of range, sort of the second half of the lottery. I really like the floor. He's the youngest of these guys. He's 19 to Davis's 20. So he's got a year on Johnny Davis. I believe in the shot improving. I think that he is just someone who is going to contribute to winning basketball. I see him as a decent level starting guard in the NBA. And I just think that these kind of players, and he actually tested really well at the combine. He ended up being like 6'7", when, I think he was listed at 6'5 or 6'6", and his wingspan is even longer at 6'11". He's just someone who is so versatile. You can play him 1, 2, or 3. He can guard 1, 2, or 3. He can play make. He can, like you said, get to the rim and finish quite well. Very smart. And I'm someone who values that a lot in the NBA draft, whereas I think someone like a Johnny Davis might not have the IQ that Dyson has. He's definitely more of a bucket getter. He can score better. And if he can extend that 3 into a lethal shot, he's got maybe a higher upside than Dyson. But I'm so confident with Daniels being a good NBA player that I'd be probably willing to maybe pick him first above Johnny Davis.
Yeah, I think the argument definitely is there that you could say he's got the highest floor.
Yeah.
That being Dyson Daniels. And as you touched on, he's such a smart player. You just know he's going to work in the NBA. I think the game's pretty slow for him, and you can tell. I guess he's not that athletic, which maybe gives you that impression.
Oh, he's not. I wouldn't say he's not athletic. I think he doesn't have eye-popping, bouncy athleticism, but he's quick, and he's got good lateral quickness, and he can get to his spots well. I don't think it's
going to
be...
For someone his size, as you touched on, he did measure really well. So 6'6 in height, even if he puts on a bit of weight, he could defend wings pretty comfortably, I think, with that kind of size.
Yeah, definitely. I think, he's got the wingspan, he's got the IQ, and he's got the... his reaction times are really, really good as well, and he's got some good instincts, especially on the defensive end. So, for me, I think he's going to fill a role better than someone like a Johnny Davis. I think he's coming from a high usage point of view in college where he was the man. He's not going to be the man in the NBA. Maybe he's like the sixth man, and that role actually might be really good for him. but I don't know if like you want him as a starting guy, if he's going to be the one taking shots away from your better players. I don't know how that dynamic fits in. The one thing I do really like about Johnny Davis is that he's a really good defender and he's got good size as well, like a Dyson Daniels. And I think that at least, even if the offense doesn't come along, he's at least going to be a positive on the defensive side of the floor, which is, as I'm doing all these rookie and draft stuff, I'm discovering a lot about myself and that I really, maybe it's the Celtic in me, but I really do value defense. And I think it's like the number one thing that boosts you up my board, at least, and versatility on that end, because I think it's, as we're seeing in the playoffs, especially over in the East, it's what keeps you on the court.
Yep. I will just touch on Johnny Davis comparison. Do you have any comparisons to start of Johnny Davis?
Johnny Davis, let me have a look. What did I have as his comp? I've got, hold on while I find it. Oh yeah, I had like a Derek White kind of comp, maybe someone like on a ceiling side of thing, like a Manu Ginobili as someone who I can compare him to. Okay. Maybe
Manu, a great player, Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
So there's a bit of respect there.
Yeah, there's a bit of respect. I like him, and I think if he can get that offense, he'll be a good player. What's your comp?
I don't think he's quite there, but I do see some kind of comparisons. Just to do with my favorite player, Jimmy Butler.
Wow, Jimmy Butler.
I'll put it out there. He's not quite there, but I can see the signs. It's like, he's a great on-ball defender, off-ball defender. That's like one of his biggest strengths. But he's also really good in the mid-range and can get you a bucket.
Yeah.
That kind of is what Jimmy Butler is, really. Like, he's a mid-range kind of freak and plays awesome defense, one of the best perimeter defenders we have. So for that reason, maybe I'm a bit biased because that is, like, you know, my guy. I love watching Jimmy. Yeah. And in terms of this guy's strengths, that's kind of Jimmy's strengths. I don't think he will become that player, unfortunately. If I did, I'd draft him up one.
Yeah.
But maybe that's why I do have him a bit higher.
Yeah. I think it probably definitely fits the ilk of player that you gravitate towards a little bit more than the player that I gravitate towards, which is fair enough. And there's, I don't think either of us can sit here and say that, you know, we know better than each other, but it's just sort of what our preferences are, which I think is a lot of this kind of range in the draft really anyway. And I think that there's no one stand out in this group. Do you agree with me though in saying that Ty Washington is maybe a tier behind these two guys?
Yeah, I do. As I said before, I do see him probably, I don't quite see him as a starting point guard in this day and age. He might potentially blossom into that, but given his size and the scoring is reasonable, but I just don't think it's just someone that could be a defensive liability, can really lift your team that much on the offensive end on a really, let's say, a contender. On a contending team, I don't quite see him there being a starting point guard, unfortunately. Yeah. So that's why I do have him a tier below. And we both touched on Dyson and Johnny's defense. It is staple parts, especially in this day and age. Perimeter defense is huge with the amount of threes people are getting up and also just being able to defend multiple positions.
Yeah.
Johnny Davis and Dyson Daniels have that advantage on Ty quite substantially.
Yeah, I've got Ty currently sitting at number 23 on my big board. So I would be, and he's sort of the last of a tier that I'm semi-confident in. Then I start to get into the range where I could have 15 guys, 20 guys in a tier. So he's sort of at that, you know, later in the first round to me. Would you agree with that assessment or ballpark kind of area?
I could see him going around the mid-teens.
Yeah.
So maybe just because higher. There aren't that many point guards
in this draft.
And there might be a team that just decides that's a good fit for them.
Yeah. Yeah, fair enough. There's no point guards in this draft. Like
I personally have him probably around the 20
side
of things.
There's another guy that we haven't mentioned in Kennedy Chandler. Do you think he's a first-round player or do you have him more as a second-round guy?
I think he's right in that spectrum, right around that 30 kind of mark. I'm not going to be too surprised, but I don't see him really going anywhere above 25.
Similar to a Ty Washington, but even more so, just the size to me. I don't want my point guard to be not able to guard bigger than his size. I know he's got, you know, some good athleticism. He obviously has the vertical jump, which is really impressive. But, you know, when you're just that small, it's just going to limit your ability to switch out on bigger guys, and that teams are going to target you on the switches in the playoffs. So, again, I don't think he's a starting point guard. I think he's a bit of a role player and a good role player, but someone who I don't really want to invest a first round pick when I can see maybe some more upside in some of the other guys. So to me, he's sort of like the start of the second round, but someone who I'd feel comfortable drafting at that point and not too worried that he's going to be a bad player or anything like that. Let's go on to the big men. Now, similar to the guards, obviously big men, but maybe for a different reason. There's not that many big men in the NBA, for that matter, that are super impactful to playoff teams. You do see it a little bit with like those unique guys like Bam Adebayo, Al Horford, Robert Williams to a lesser extent. But the traditional center is obviously a dying breed. So we're going to go through some of these guys, some notable players in the draft. Jalen Duren, Mark Williams. I've lumped EJ Liddell into this category. He might be able to be in the next series where we're going through the wings, but I'm going to put him here. Christian Koloko, Walker Kessler, and the guy from Paris, Ishmael Kamagate. Give me your rankings of these centers here, Cal.
Okay, I'll go through it reasonably quickly, and then we'll touch on all of them. So I do have Jalen Duren at the top of this list, personally. I then go to EJ Liddell as number two on this list, followed by your Mark Williams, then Christian Koloko, followed by Walker Kessler, and lastly, Kamagate.
Ishmael Kamagate. It's fun name to say. Okay, I think we our lists are very similar. The only thing I would say is that I flipped Mark Williams and EJ Liddell. I know you're a big EJ Liddell fan, and I am too. I do like myself some Liddell. Before we get to those guys, do you think that Duren is like separate himself from these guys? Is he a tier above these players, do you think? Or is he maybe closer to some of them than we sort of give credit for?
I did have him a tier above. We kind of touched them just to be that staple in defense, total like energy bunny. He hops around, runs the court really well. Fits today's NBA really nicely for a big that can just run and defend a lot of positions and come with a lot of intensity. So I do actually really quite like Jalen Duren.
Is he starting a center in the NBA?
Yeah, definitely.
Is he someone who's going to be getting 30 minutes a night on a playoff team? Like in a playoff game?
I go above the 30 minutes. Let's say 32 minutes a game. Why not?
Yeah, so he's not getting played off the floor.
I see him as a starting center. I think unless he's in foul trouble, I think he's a starting center who can contribute on both ends, can be a rim runner, can throw it down, and can be a shot blocker on the other end. So someone that can contribute.
I kind of see it similar. I think he's definitely a starting center in the NBA. I think he might even be like the top half of the starting centers in the NBA, where his potential is. He's got a bit of scoring upside and he's got some playmaking upside as a big man. Super young, one of the youngest players in the draft. I think he is the youngest player in the draft. So he's got a lot of time to mature and develop and get better on the IQ side of things. But let's go into the next tier. For both of us, these both players are both in the same tier for me. And then again, I've got another tier drop off before the last three. But I've got Mark Williams over EJ Liddell. What do you see EJ Liddell being in the NBA?
I think he could be a small ball five, but I think he does probably cater best for your power forward.
Yep.
He's got that big frame. He can obviously guard people in the paint, but he can also hit the three. He can spread the court as well.
Yep.
He's more of a spot-up shooter on that end. I will admit that. He doesn't quite have your shot creation in the mid-range or really in the post either. I think what this guy brings is spot-up shooting from the three-point line on offense, which is valuable. If you look at someone, let's say like a PJ Tucker, you can specialize in something like that on offense. While on the defensive end, great help defender. Can come in, block shots. Even, you know, in fast games, he's the master of the chase down block, as we're aware.
He loves it.
He can get rebounds as well. I don't know if you've been keeping up to date with the draft combine, but
vertical jump
won one of the categories. Do you know which one that was?
It was the no It was the standing vertical jump. Yeah, the no run.
35 and a half inches.
It was huge.
Standing vert is pretty damn impressive.
Yeah.
Especially for someone of his size. So he is athletic.
Explains why he can get those blocks.
That's right. Yeah, the 2.6 blocks. If he can just jump up like that and contest it, obviously that is something that won't be a skill that can really, let's say, you know, 10 years into your career, it's something that will diminish over time sooner than some of the other abilities. But I think what he brings now is a great, great role player on a team defensively and offensively.
Is he a starter?
I mean, the man put up like 20 points a game.
Is he a starter in the NBA?
I think in a couple years' time, yeah.
Interesting. Yeah. I think he
should kind of come in and contribute now. I'm thinking a starter on a contender.
Yeah.
And he needs to get some NBA experience. But yeah, 100%, I think he would fit that.
I think he can be that, maybe the fifth starter on a good team, or maybe like a sixth, seventh player on an NBA team. He's a key rotational guy, I think. I just see him more as maybe like, again, I'm using all these Celtics comparisons, but I see him as like a Grant Williams kind of type, someone who, you know, he's getting key minutes in the playoffs, really important defensive assignments, but in terms of like, it might be matchup dependent, you know, in for example, Grant Williams, I don't see having as much to do in this Warriors series as he's done in the last couple of series. So I don't know if he's like a consistent night in, night out starting player, but still an important sort of piece to a team. Whereas I kind of see Mark Williams as that, you know, I think he's a starting center in the NBA, maybe not like a Jalen Duren, you know, top 15. So he might, again, be played off the court in some playoff series. So to me, they're close. I just think that Mark Williams, he's a year and a half younger. And I think that he's probably just got a higher floor than EJ Liddell. You know, we think that, you know, he's versatile with Liddell in terms of his size and being able to guard fives and fours and play great defense, hit the open shot. But there's a part of me that thinks that maybe it doesn't materialize the way we expect it to, whereas there's no part of me that thinks Mark Williams is not going to be a good defender, a good lob threat, and a good rebounder. Like, that's what he's going to do. He's not going to do much else out of that, but he's going to be really good at that. So him being like that Clint Capella, maybe not of this past year, but of the year before when we actually thought he was good, I see that is a pretty safe bet for him. And speaking of measuring well at the NBA Combine, did you see this man standing reach?
Mark Williams?
Yeah, crazy.
Yeah, look, he won that one, didn't he?
Nine foot nine. He had a standing reach. So
standing reach, yeah.
He's 1 inch, two or three inches away from just touching the rim, like just standing there. That's insane. This man, huge wingspan. Obviously, he's got good
bounce. That is pretty wild, yeah. I'm looking at he did get the best in the wingspan as well. So obviously, they do go hand in hand, don't they? So yeah. Standing reach and wingspan. Mark Williams takes the belt.
Yeah, he's 4 inches ahead of the next closest in Walker Kessler. And it's just insane measurable.
Also the second tallest without shoes measured.
Yeah, he's just a beast all around. So I do like him as just like, you know, you're very classic big man. Now, how much value is that in the NBA? A lot of people are sort of mocking him to go 13th to the Hornets. I don't know if I'd go that high. I'd rather get him at 15 to the Hornets. I'm nitpicking here, but I think there is a clear like 13 in my big board, and he's kind of in that next tier, like after your Jeremy Sochans and AJ Griffins and Tari Eason's and all those other guys. I've got all those guys ahead of him. So I don't know if he's like a lottery player, but he's more of a mid first for me.
Do you think the lottery buzz is too much? NBA. Just how centers can get played off the court.
Yeah.
And to some degree, I did take that into consideration when I put EJ ahead of him. I would totally agree with you that Mark Williams does have a better floor. I think his floor is high. He will be definitely a rotation piece. You see someone like Steven Adams, for example, plays big throughout the whole regular season in certain matchups. We saw it in the playoffs. He got played off the court.
Yeah.
It is what it is. Mark Williams is pretty athletic, more athletic than Steven Adams. But that will go downhill over time. And I do have question marks as to that playoff kind of starting center if he can contribute in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, I think we agree there. Maybe just different philosophies on where we would draft. So let's move on to those last three guys, Christian Koloko, Walker Kessler, and Ishmael Kamagate. Are these first-round picks, in your opinion?
I would say Koloko, yes, and Kessler, yes. I think those guys are. I'm not too sure about Kamagate. Koloko, he's actually done pretty well in the draft. He had some shooting drills, was hitting a fair few shots. He's got a bit of hype around him now. He's been moving up a fair few draft boards for that respect, because he is kind of like a 3-and-D guy. And someone like a Mark Williams doesn't give you that, spread the court like someone like a Koloko. So I think he does fit in today's NBA quite nicely.
Yeah, he does have that shooting ability, which has been obviously the talk since the combine, and I think he won one of the shooting drills or something like that. Obviously, it's a very small sample size, but at least we know that he's got some sort of confidence and some sort of ability to make that a part of his game. So that's why I had him ahead of these other two, and he's probably the only one of those ones that I would have sneaking into the first round. I've got him at 29 on my big board at the moment. The only thing that gives me concern, obviously, he's the oldest prospect of these guys. He's 22 already. I think he was a late bloomer or started playing basketball.
He's from Cameroon, and you do find the guys, obviously, from Cameroon might come in a bit later.
Yeah, I think he was a soccer player or something like that for a while. Yeah, and then
those Cameroon, well, they all start playing soccer, right?
Yeah.
That's just how it is.
Yeah, and then decide, oh, yeah, I'm 7 foot tall. Let's not play soccer. Let's play basketball.
The same things about Joel Embiid. You know, he started as a soccer player. It's just what happens over there.
Yeah, so maybe that there's a little bit more potential there for that reason, but I don't know how much I believe in those kind of stories. Like, you can just kind of see that as a bit of a spin and to get his draft stock up there. So, I don't know. So, I have him sneak into the first round. Walker Kessler and Kamagate. I've got Kessler above him just for the fact that he can space the floor a little bit better at this stage. But both of them are, I think, sort of early second round picks, in my opinion. Maybe not starters, centers in the NBA, but good rotational defensive big men.
I had the same concerns for Kessler, a bit more so than Mark Williams, because I do see him definitely getting play off the floor just because he doesn't have that lateral quickness at all. So people will be hunting him. But he's a great, great rim protector for sure. He put up 4.5 blocks a game.
Yeah, elite block numbers.
So that is pretty, pretty wild. In terms of the draft combine as well, he was right there with Mark Williams. Standing reach, he was number two.
Yeah,
and he was the tallest guy in the draft. So that goes to say something. And then tied third for your wingspan. So he's a big guy.
Yeah, big dude. And obviously he has that blocking ability, which is useful. Like, we're not saying that the big men are completely extinct, but like when we're thinking about it from a playoff matchup point of view, you do have to take these guys down a notch. So that will do it for us today, guys. Make sure you hit us down in the comments what you think about these guards and these bigs. Give us a like. Make sure you give it a big thumbs up. Subscribe if you haven't already. And stay tuned for more draft content coming this NBA offseason. See you guys.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.